Well, welcome to this concert I'm calling Roots Hold Me Close, Wings Set Me Free. It's a concert for Holden, trees, and our children. And I think it'll be a hard act to follow. These services are so powerful, but we'll attempt it anyway. And I'd like to thank all of the people who have helped put this concert together, the stage setup, the sound masters, the pickup Celtic band, the pickup choir.
I don't have to be that close.
Additional instrumentalists, flute players and recorder players, four different pianists, a couple of readers and a storyteller, hands that appear magically to adjust microphones, a very young dancer, and to all of you who have come to listen and also to sing, you will be asked to join on an occasion. And all in all, it takes a village to do a concert. I've broken the concert into four different sections. The first one I'm calling Inroads to the Spirit. It'll begin with an Irish slow air, just to get into a meditative mood, followed by a song called Spirit of Life. You'll be asked to join us after the choir sings it. And then there's a little medley, a Celtic medley, that I'm calling Holden's Celtic Connection. The chapel bell, I'm retitling Holden's Bell, which rings for all the opportunities that exist here. The rocky road to Dublin is now the rocky road to Holden, or Heart Lake, or any number of sites. And the butterfly, I'm still calling the butterfly, for all those plentiful signs of new life that float around this village. I'll tell you more about the next section later. Thank you. The next section is called Into the Woods. And it starts off with this wonderful paraphrase of a Jewish song, which we'll be playing second in this set. We're first starting with a song by Alice Parker called God Is Seen, and then the song Sing Softly, and two more Jewish pieces. There's no way I'm going to pronounce this correctly. Tapuak Chinyani and Manavu.
My father told me when I was a child that it's good to rise at dawn, for whoever has a heart and an ear can surely find a melody. Sing softly, very softly, so no one but we can hear, and let the lovely melody gently rock us till the stars fall asleep. I obeyed my clever father and followed his words. In the fields among the birds, I found the most beautiful melody. Deep in the woods is the deep secret which the silence holds. Who knows? Perhaps God hid his melody there.
Oh, God is seen, all over,
The wind caresses the treetops and kisses its leaves. There in the garden, my beauty picked an apple. If I were a tree and she the wind, she would kiss me too.
Another text suitable for Holden Village. How beautiful upon the mountains are all of the messengers of good tidings, bringing peace, justice, and salvation. Ma Nabu. Section 3, for the children of our children. We're beginning with a song written by a Jewish woman. It's called Circle Round for Freedom. It's recently been published in the GIA Catholic Hymnal. And please join us after the choir sings it through twice. You'll hear the melody sung in the alto line. And then we will do another a Hebrew melody, followed by a folk song, Child of Mine.
Circle round for freedom, circle round
How shall this child be blessed? The angel asked. How shall this child be blessed? And he blessed him with a smile and with eyes that could see all living things and with a heart that could feel all that is seen.
now we have a story, could be for children. It's called The Selfish Giant by Oscar Wilde. And Tori Setterholm will read it.
Afternoon, as they were coming home from school, the children used to go and play in the giant's garden. It was a large, lovely garden with soft green grass. Here and there over the grass stood beautiful flowers like stars, and there were 12 peach trees that in the springtime broke out into delicate blossoms of pink and pearl, and in the autumn bore rich fruit. The birds sat on the trees and sang so sweetly that the children used to stop their games in order to listen to them. "How happy we are here," they cried to each other. One day, the giant came back. He had been to visit his friend, the Cornish ogre, and had stayed with him for 7 years. After the 7 years were over, he had said all that he had to say, for his conversation was limited, and he determined to return to his own castle. When he arrived, he saw the children playing in the garden. "What are you doing here?" he cried in a very gruff voice, and the children ran away. "My own garden is my own garden," said the giant. "And anyone can understand that, and I will allow nobody to play in it but myself." So he built a high wall around it and put up a notice board that said, "Trespassers will be prosecuted." He was a very selfish giant. The poor children had now nowhere to play. They tried to play on the road, but the road was very dusty and full of hard stones, and they did not like it. They used to wander around the high walls when their lessons were over and talk about the beautiful garden inside. "How happy we were there," they said to each other. Then the spring came, and all over the country there were little blossoms and little birds. Only in the garden of the selfish giant, it was still winter. The birds did not care to sing in it, as there were no children, and the trees forgot to blossom. Once a beautiful flower put its head out from the grass, but when it saw the notice board, it felt so sorry for the children that it slipped back into the ground again and went off to sleep. The only people who were pleased were the snow and the frost. "Spring has forgotten this garden," they cried, "so we will live here all the year round." The snow covered up the grass with her great white cloak, and the frost painted all the trees silver. Then they invited the north wind to stay with them, and he came. He was wrapped in furs, and he roared all day about the garden and blew the chimney pots down. "This is a delightful spot," he said. "We must all ask hail on a visit." So the hail came. Every day for 3 hours, he rattled on the roof of the castle till he broke most of the slates. And he ran round and round the garden as fast as he could go. He was dressed in gray, and his breath was like ice. "I cannot understand why the spring is so late in coming," said the selfish giant as he sat at the window and looked out at his cold, white garden. "I hope there'll be a change in the weather." But the spring never came, nor the summer. The autumn gave golden fruit to every garden, but to the giant's garden she gave none. "He is too selfish," she said. So it was always winter there, and the north wind and the hail and the frost and the snow danced about through the trees. One morning, the giant was lying awake in bed when he heard some lovely music. It sounded so sweet to his ears that he thought it must be the king's musicians passing by. It was really only a little linnet singing outside his window, but it was so long since he had heard a bird sing in his garden that it seemed to him to be the most beautiful music in the world. "I believe the spring has come at last," said the giant, and he jumped out of bed and looked out. What did he see? He saw a most wonderful sight. Through a little hole in the wall, the children had crept in, and they were sitting in the branches of the trees. In every tree he could see there was a little child. And the trees were so glad to have the children back again that they had covered themselves with blossoms and were waving their arms gently above the children's heads. The birds were flying about and twittering with delight, and the flowers were looking up through the green grass and laughing. It was a lovely scene. Only in one corner, it was still winter. It was the farthest corner of the garden, and in it was standing a little boy. He was so small that he could not reach up to the branches of the tree, and he was wandering all around it, crying bitterly. The poor tree was still covered with frost and snow, and the north wind was blowing and roaring above it. "Climb up, little boy," said the tree, and it bent its branches down as low as it could, but the boy was too tiny. And the giant's heart melted as he looked out. "How selfish I have been," he said. "Now I know why the spring would not come here. I will put that poor little boy up on top of the tree, and I will knock down the wall, and my garden shall be the children's playground forever and ever." He was really very sorry for what he had done. So he crept downstairs and opened the front door quite softly and went out into the garden. But when the children saw him, they were so frightened that they all ran away, and the garden became winter again. Only the little boy did not run, for his eyes were so full of tears that he did not see the giant coming. And the giant stole up behind him and took him gently in his hand and put him up into the tree. And the tree broke at once into blossom, and the birds came and sang on it, and the little boy stretched out his two arms and flung them around the giant's neck and kissed him. And the other children, when they saw that the giant was not wicked any longer, came running back, and with them came the spring. "It's your garden now, little children," said the giant, and he took a great axe and knocked down the wall. And when the people were going to market, they found the giant playing with the children in the most beautiful garden they had ever seen. All day long they played, and in the evening they came to the giant to bid him goodbye. "Your little companion," he said. "The boy I put in the tree." The giant loved him the best because he had kissed him.
"We don't know," answered the children. "He's gone away."
"You must tell him to be sure and come tomorrow," said the giant. But the children said that they did not know where he lived and had never seen him before. And the giant felt very sad. Every afternoon when school was over, the children came and played with the giant. But the little boy whom the giant loved was never seen again. The giant was very kind to all the children, yet he longed for his first little friend and often spoke of him. "How I would like to see him," he used to say. Years went over, and the giant grew very old and feeble. He could not play about anymore, so he sat in a huge armchair and watched the children at their games and admired his garden.
"I have many beautiful flowers," he said, "but the children are the most beautiful flowers of all."
One winter morning, he looked out his window as he was dressing. He did not hate the winter now, for he knew that it was merely the spring asleep and that the flowers were resting. Suddenly, he rubbed his eyes in wonder and looked and looked. It certainly was a marvelous sight. In the furthest corner of the garden was a tree quite covered with lovely white blossoms. Its branches were golden, and silver fruit hung down from them, and underneath it stood the little boy he had loved. Downstairs the giant ran in great joy and out into the garden. He hastened across the grass and came near to the child, and when he came quite close, his face grew red with anger, and he said, "Who hath dared to wound thee?" For on the palms of the child's hands were the prints of two nails, and the prints of two nails were on the little feet.
"Who hath dared to wound thee?" cried the giant. "Tell me that I may take my sword and slay them."
"Nay," answered the child, "but these are the wounds of love."
"Who art thou?"
said the giant, and a strange awe fell on him, and he knelt before the little child. And the child smiled on the giant and said to him, "You let me play once in your garden. Today you shall come with me to my garden, which is paradise." And when the children ran in that afternoon, they found the giant lying dead under the tree, all covered with white blossoms.
The next song is entitled Prayer of the Children, and it was composed by Kurt Bester following a trip to Bosnia, a Bosnian hospital for children. Upon returning to the States, he learned that the building was bombed during the fighting, so he wrote this song, Prayer of the Children.
Turning heavenward. Come a time when I will gather flowers, wreathe them for your hair, twine them for your bowers, and they will not then as now go to the graveyard mourning another hero home, another friend's last returning. Oh, when that time will come, and it may come tomorrow, that's when the flowers of joy will equal the flowers of sorrow. There will come a time when all your tears down starting mean anger with a lover, sweet sadness at a parting, and you will not then as now be weeping for the bleeding in hungry children's eyes, for broken bodies bleeding. Oh, when that time will come, and it may come tomorrow, that's when the flowers of joy will equal the flowers of sorrow.
Please join us on the refrain of the next song. It's called Spirit Song, and the end of each verse has some reassuring words. Oh brother, don't you weep. Oh brother, don't you weep no more. Sun's gonna shine on a golden shore. Oh brother, don't you weep. Oh sisters, don't you weep. Oh people, don't you weep. Oh fathers, oh mothers, you'll follow Janice. The last section is called Dance for Joy, and maybe it's the servant's dance of joy. The first song is a Scottish Renaissance early Baroque song called When She Come Ben She Bobbit, which means when she got happy, she danced. And that will be followed by an English dance tune called La Volta. The Volta was one of Queen Elizabeth's favorites, as you know from the movie. Following that is a new piece by Steve Petronak called Winds of the Spirit, And after that is a Celtic jam session of several different jigs and reels.
Four different keyboard players.
Six different songs that go into each other. Just a sec.
This is called Winds of the Spirit, and if the winds come, her music's gone. Thank you.
Thank you.